G'day, snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the Baller podcast feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of Hungry for More, and with me to talk about all the big news out of the third and final week of the preseason is the salt and the spicy takes, the prince of pods, the coach of tubes pods, Tubes! How you going, mate?
I'm good. I'm excited. This is the most NRL I've actually watched. I know we do a review show, but I haven't been watching much of the preseason. And so I'm... it's actually been such a good weekend of football. Like, it feels like there's been at least three or four games where the first half genuinely felt like an NRL game. I'm sort of excited to review. I'm coming in from some new headquarters. I'm in my cupboard currently.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
The boy under the stairs.
Yeah. bit nicer lighting here. That was the decision.
Fair enough, Tubes. Mate, it's a good round of footy. How many it was a good preseason round of footy? It was definitely a lot more going than the previous 2 weeks. How many times have you changed that Supercoach lineup over the weekend with the trials?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Like, as in, it'd be more than 10. it's a big fiddle around season. Like, as in, it'll be interesting thinking about coming into Vegas next week. But it feels like this year more than any other, you can have very different variations of your side. So it's not just tinkering with one or two players. You basically tinker with the whole structure. Like, you have the big boy season or you have the big center wings. And now all of a sudden it feels like there's the possibility of the big halves strategy or the mid-range halves strategy certainly coming into play. So, yeah, I've played around with it a fair bit. I couldn't tell you. More than 10.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's just like you said, there's so many different ways. Like, normally there's probably 15, 16 guys who, for like the diehard super coaches, they're like really well owned across the board. This year, it just doesn't feel that same way. We'll see how it all pans out come the first couple of teamless Tuesdays, but it does feel like it's really open. All right, we'll discuss all of that coming up. But first of all, just a reminder, as always, the Ballers Only Discord. You have to be signed up through the Baller website to get in there and join in the conversation. Baller.live/Discord. That's B-A-L-L-R. For Baller. And Tubes, it's just going off. It continues to grow with every single day. More and more people are joining. And it's just a lot of fun. There was a moment, which we'll talk about in this podcast, where Big Macassini had an unbelievable try. And I was sitting in my lounge room watching it by myself. And the first thing I did was just get the phone to see what everyone in the Discord was saying. And it was going off, eh?
Yeah, it was. I think Matt was calling him Jonah Lomu. there was plenty of chat about him. It is good when, particularly, I mean, I was, funnily enough, I was watching at home as well on my couch. I wasn't alone, but I was watching it on KO while something else was on the TV. So I've flicked up my KO. I've got a little screen in screen and I'm Discording while okay, because it does, it's good. It makes you feel like you're sort of watching it with other people, which is what you sort of get from group chats, but you can also get it at a wider range and a very super coach specific conversation often as well.
Yeah, and as we'll go through in this episode, there's a lot of kind of exclusive things for the Ballers in that Discord. So, yeah, please jump in and join us. It's a lot of fun. You can ask your questions, get your team analysed by ourselves and all the other Ballers in there, and it's really, really good. Tubes, as always, socials plug. If you want to, please follow Baller on all the different social websites. Search for Baller NRL on X, Facebook and Instagram, and search for Baller Supercoach on YouTube and TikTok. And I know that the Baller Boffins are going to be getting a lot of content coming out there as the year kicks off. And speaking of the Baller Boffins, we've been a little bit quiet about what's going on the baller.live website so far this preseason, Tubes. That's not because it's nothing. They've been working very, very hard behind the scenes. There's a couple of really key features. Not allowed to say us. Matt, can I please say what they are? He said no, but he said I could tease that there are some new features coming to the website this week. And we are going to have Matt on the pod on Tuesday for our first Teamless Tuesday show of the year to go through a few of those things. But, yeah, there's a bit happening, isn't there, Tubes?
Yeah, Matt's not letting you let the cat out of the bag there.
No way.
He makes sure the head honcho gets on the pod when he when he wants to release some of the new features coming to Baller, that's for sure.
As always, please, if you are listening to the podcast and enjoying the podcast, watching on YouTube, flick us a comment. Doesn't matter if it's positive or negative. Both are appreciated. Give us a like, subscribe, and it just continues to help it all grow. We say it every week, but we genuinely do really appreciate seeing how much it's been growing, not only over the end of last year, but really big growth this YouTube. It feels like it's building. So it's great to see. Thanks, everyone, for the support. Now, enough positives, Tubes. For the first time this year, it is time to get a little bit negative on the Sunday Snap. It's time for the rage trades. And
are you little?
My first rage trade can of the year, Tubes. We said we weren't going to bring this back until after round zero in Vegas. I've gone a week early because my rage trade candidate is a man we were just speaking about before. It's your brother, the head honcho of the Baller Podcasting Arm, Matthew Ricks. And Matt, you know, if you're listening, exactly why you are the rage trade candidate this week. Because Tubes, anyone who listened to the show during the week on our mid-range pod with you, myself and Cracker, they would have heard us say we were recording a day early. I believe it was edited out as to why we were recording a day early. But I can say right now the reason was because on Tuesday night, Matt and Baller had been invited to go to the Supercoach official launch. And I was really honoured. As a big Supercoach nerd, Matt asked me to come along. It was fantastic. I took a two-thirds of a day of leave without pay. I had started driving up the M5 from Canberra all the way to Sydney for the event, pumped up. And I got to Goulburn and I saw the phone ringing. And it was Matt's number coming up and answered. He goes, mate, I've got some really bad news for you. And this is Tuesday at about 12 p.m. He said, the Supercoach official launch is not until Wednesday night, which meant I was unable to attend. I'd taken two-thirds of a day leave without pay, gone for a big drive for absolutely nothing, Tubes. And geez, even though I understood that Matt felt bad, I was raging.
I can just see you at the big ram. Oh, it's in Goulburn, just down
pretty much
front.
Exactly
just,
where just, I was. The big
just
marina.
Pacing back and forth, just going, just raging like this. No more pods. I'm fired up like for a good 5 minutes. It's yeah. I mean, he's got plenty. So it's a big stuff up. But the attention to detail might have just been missing on that one. I do think that Matt managed to still get along and
that's nice. Good
and
for him.
film some good content that's going to get shared with the Baller community out there, and maybe you'll get to watch it. Maybe he'll give you a sneak preview or something, Jono.
Yeah, it'll feel like I was there. That'd be nice. I tell you what, Chiefs, I plan on going to that. I don't know if you've ever been to the Oliver's. It's like the servo, the healthy kind of servo station food, and that was what I was going to have for lunch once that phone call came through. Just drove straight past Oliver's to Macca's, pounded an El Macco and like absolutely destroyed it and then got back with my drive back home to Canberra. So it was good. It was a good drive.
Yeah.
Listen to a couple of podcasts. All right. That's the negativity over, Tubes. Let's get into actually our round review from Trials Week 3. And we've got to start with the World Club Challenge, Hull versus the Broncos. And my big takeaway, Tubes, is that I have not had Reece Walsh in a single draft of my Supercoach team. I was very scared after watching that game. Well, not was. I am very scared now after seeing how Walsh went in that performance. How do you find it?
Yeah, I thought it was, once the game was over, or it felt over, it clearly wasn't over.
Never is with them.
It felt like it was over. They obviously started throwing the ball around a fair bit more, and I mainly watched that second half when he was so involved. It made me think, part of the narrative from me on not starting with Walsh was just with Reynolds there, Ezra 5'8", you know, does he not, obviously he doesn't have the goal kicking, but does he not get the ball on demand as much as he was in that run home?
Yeah.
And it certainly felt like in that second half, it was basically just the game plan turned to get Reece Walsh the ball as much as possible. And if that's what the Broncos are going to be doing, when they're down throughout the season, he's going to be a very scary own, particularly in those last 20, 30 minutes of games.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable and had the most touches of any Bronco outside of Ben Hunt and Adam Reynolds. So he's clearly going to be getting the hands on the ball a lot. The other big standout performance, Tubes, was Payne Haas. Tell us about Payne's performance.
Payne Haas. So we don't have the official scores or anything, but we think he scored about over 100 in base plus power, and he busted out 80 minutes. And now, obviously, Jensen, I think, went off in the first couple of minutes with a HIA. That was sort of why it was touted that he played such big minutes. But, I mean, from my perspective, if as soon as something goes wrong, the backup plan is play Payne 80 minutes, it's sort of proving out the theory that Maguire's just all right, sign for another club. I'll just get the most out of you this year and then send you on your way.
And they also, it's like they had no middles on the bench. They had, what's his name? Your mate, Ben Talty, was off the bench, only played 26 minutes. And that All Blacks Toa, who's come over from the Titans, has a lot of raps, I think he only played 22. So, you know, I agree, he definitely, but he's not, we're not expecting 80 every week. But like you said, if he's their break class in case of emergency when they got capable middles, it's just incredible. Tell you what else is incredible.
He looked fit too. He looked awesome. I mean, that's what you expect. But he continued on that strategy. He was running wide a few times. He was clearly offloading. Like, I just, well, sorry, he was looking to. But I just mean he didn't miss a beat. Like, I can't see how he can't start with Payne Haas to start the year.
No, must have, despite the price tag. Everyone get him. Tubes, YGI, your man Gehem at Shibasaki, he had a really good game. Scored a great try off a Reece Walsh cutout ball. They got a nice little combination there. He had 10 tackle busts as well. He's 637K, Tubes. Centre's obviously potentially getting a little bit of a bump this year if they're throwing that last pass out to the winger. Any interest in going around with YGI again, Tubler?
Look, I've got my ball of draft just after this, so I might be looking to pick him up in that. I don't know about 637K. He scored two tries.
Oh, two, was it?
Yeah, I think he scored two. He looked unbelievable. But yeah, not at that price tag. I don't think I could start the year with him. But I think I wouldn't be shocked if he still ended up being a top sort of seven or eight centre winger for the year. He obviously does have that good combo with Walsh, as you said.
Contract year as well. He hasn't signed with anyone for next season, has he?
Oh, honestly, no idea. I'd be shocked. Surely they've upgraded him. Like, was he only on a 2-year deal?
I think so, yeah. We'll look into that post pod, but I think there might be a chance he's trying to push for a big contract either with the Broncos or with Perth or, yeah, something else. He's going to have a lot of motivation, the big fella. And the last one from that game, Tubes, is Paddy Carrigan. He also played 80 minutes with that Jensen injury. He scored a try. He scored about 90 approximately. Thank you to Realm, who crunched those numbers in the Discord and posted them there for us to see. Is there any chance, Hughes, with the stat changes, the third man tackles now being rewarded at 648K, could you get around Patrick Carrigan as an option and could he move into that legit premium status this year?
Look, he could, but, I mean, similar to what we were just talking about, he's probably not playing 80 minutes every week, similar to Haas. Probably a bit disappointed if he's only scored 90 in 80 minutes with a try and a line break. So, look, he's definitely going to be an option because he makes a bucket load of tackles and gets through a huge amount of work. But again, he's coming in with a higher price tag. I don't think you're going to be starting the year with him, but he could easily be in the top three or four front rowers for the season if you're looking at sort of getting someone in at some point in time.
I think there's still better front rowers at a cheaper price, but you never know. Like if he gets that role and he's getting consistently big minutes.
Plays Origin too. Like yeah. I just can't see him ever being super relevant from a Supercoach perspective.
Right, second game around was the Warriors versus the Finns and lots to talk about from the Finns, but first of all, the Warriors, Tubes. Ali Laiatawa, he had a 73 under the new scoring system. I thought he looked really strong after a pretty quiet first trial. This one, he looked a lot more up and about, looking for work, getting his hands on the ball. Big, strong man at 452K, super pod at 1% ownership. Any temptation for Laiatawa?
No, not for me. I think he's been touted for a couple of years. Very low ownership, as you say. Look, I mean, for those looking at those mid-range centres with the centre upswing this year, I think there's a bunch that you could be looking at, and he obviously could fit into that role. But I don't think that's not the strategy I'm looking at running mid-range centres at this point in the year, from my perspective.
Trey Fuller, I don't think we need to discuss him, but he had a great game. Reminded everyone how good he is. 103 points under the new system. The only problem is that it now seems likely Hammer's going to be the fullback. There was comments from he himself saying he wants to be the Queensland fullback this year and reports that he trained, like I think it was 99% of the time at fullback during their preseason and offseason. So probably a line through Trey Fuller, but as we said during our mid-range pod, Tubes, if he is in, near must-have territories for the kind of player he is at that price tag. We also got our first look tubes at the left edge combination for the Finns. Are you? What are you calling it? Are you calling it like Serby Cobworth? What's it? What's our name for Selwyn Cobbo and Herbie Farmworth tubes?
I've just got it as Cobworth.
Cobworth, no first name.
Cobworth. Just Cobworth. Just Cobworth.
What'd you make of it?
Gets the job done, Cobworth. I thought they looked great. I mean, it's the second game we've seen of Selwyn just looking extremely fit and strong. He obviously scored a try. And sitting on that left wing outside of Herbie is where he looks. He does look great. Herbie, just sort of standard in the very small minutes that he played. He busted out, 30 in base or base plus power, basically, and didn't really do too much from an attacking point of view, but obviously you know that he's got that in him. Yep. So probably just a nice tick over trial, like, you know, just a first up. Just a first up run, ready to explode. coming into round one. Well, I was going to mention as well. If you know we're reviewing these games, if you feel like we're missing some, you there could be a big RTE segment coming up.
A bumper edition of RTE ready to explode coming up. So yeah, if you're wondering why we're not speaking about a specific player, just wait, they'll come. Tubes with Herbie, very much a going through the motions trial. I don't mean that as an insult even for Herbie, because he knows who he is, the Finns know who he is. He's not one of these guys just trying to prove something in the trials like other guys need to. So clearly an excellent option. And I think if I get Herbie, which I most likely will, I almost feel like I have to pair him with Selwyn Cobbo and get Cobworth up and running. The last one from that game, Tubes, is Tommy Flegler, who reports, I think, from Christian Wolf himself that Flegler's going to start off the bench this year. He had a pretty good trial, had a couple of stints. He's offloading a lot, getting through defensive work. What do you think, Chews? If he's coming off the bench, is he still an option at 346K, or are you putting a line through him?
I think I'm putting a line through him at least to start the year. I'm not saying that you probably won't end up in your team at some point in time.
If you don't start with him, I don't think you're ever getting him.
It just depends. I'm more thinking that he just won't get the minutes. I don't think to be relevant. So in the short term. So, what do I mean by that? Probably 340K. If he averages, 30 odd minutes and sort of averages around that 40 range, you can sort of live without him for a period of time. But if as soon as you start seeing an uptick in those minutes, you could look at bringing him in at that point in time because he's a proven gun and he's got a good PPM. It's just about it's a minutes watch. And I'm happy to watch the first 3 weeks and see what those are going to look like or if there is going to be an uptick.
Yeah, agreed. I think I can't see him ever being more than like a 50-minute guy, to be honest, like just because their pack is so deep, they don't need him to be. All right, the next game is the Tigers versus the Panthers. And the first one I want to talk about, Chibs, is KPP, who I know you've been interested in. Sorry, KPP. KPP was a late out with calf tightness. Tubes, I already had a line through KPP. I think at that 600K price tag, I like Crichton and Yeo better. There's no way I'm not starting with David Fifita. And I don't want to carry four of those guys when there's good cheap options available. Has this put a line through KPP for you as well with his calf tightness?
Yeah, for sure. I think the other factor is how many Tigers you're happy to carry. As well.
And you got your eyes on a couple.
I've got my eyes on a couple others from that trial performance. He was floating around. I don't mind the four gun center wing strategy around that 600K. I thought that I could figure out a way to carry KPP through, but I mean, having someone at 600K that was already a potential high risk, high upside play now coming off a calf strain feels too high risk for the reward you're going to get.
For the Panthers, I think the biggest talking point out of the game, Tubes, was Nathan Cleary, who was sin bin for a high shot, and he is going to be suspended for 2 weeks with the early plea, but I do believe he's going to fight, which means if he is unsuccessful, that'll be 3 weeks out. So that's obviously interesting because he was in 25% of teams coming into that trial. That's going to drop dramatically if he's missing 2 to 3 weeks of NRL. The other big talking point there, Chiefs, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see this one, but he wasn't given the assist for the big bag Brian To'o try. He threw a two-man cutout ball into space. To'o did kind of like line break. To'o did have to cut back in and beat a couple of defenders at the line, but not given the try assist for that. Did you see this and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, under the old interpretations, it's a try assist every day of the week. I don't quite get why it's not yet, why it wouldn't be. I think there's been a little bit of hyperbole around the whole, oh, we're going to get more consistency. Like people have been talking it up in different content that I listen to about, oh, that part of the benefits of the new stats is there'll be more consistency and you'll know exactly what you're getting.
That's me. I've been doing that.
Like there's, it's, but like, I think Dan put it in the Discord. It's rugby league. There's always going to be a gray area. There's going to be, we're going to find gray spots. I think the benefit of the new stats is that it'll be there quicker. And it's probably not going to get updated and changed on a Monday morning or on a Sunday night. So I'm gonna take the good with the bad. I'm not sure why this isn't, but if the interpretation starts to become that basically if a center or a winger does something or has to beat the men, you know, on the inside like Brian Toto did, and it means they take the try assist, then that's probably what we're going to have to live with, and it's not going to be good for halfbacks.
I don't want to have to live with that. I was looking forward to getting rid of that, all these arguments, oh, was it one, wasn't it one, who should have got it? And I thought, to me, just watching that, it was such a clear one. Like, he put him into space. Like, it was just a pass, and Brian Toto beat his man one-on-one. He was put into space. Anyway, very frustrating. Tubes, the reason I said hyperbole is I believe it's pronounced hyperbole, which is, I'm just very happy to hear that your player name is pronunciation.
Jono, you're trying to live in the black and white. Come join me in the grey. We don't pronounce everything correctly here. We just go with it. We enjoy Supercoach for what it is and all the hyperbole that goes along with it.
All right. Isaiah Yeo is one, Chiefs, that you and I are definitely going to own. He's somehow still only in 22% of teams. That needs to be higher come season kickoff, I reckon. Isaiah Yeo, 50 points, looking very fresh-faced, no beard, no stubble, looking clean and sharp. And he had 37 tackles in his roughly 50 minutes of play and had 50 points for it. So I think it's just further confirmation, Tubes, that he's an absolute goer for round one.
Like, he's just 100%. His PPM's just going to go through the roof, realistically. So and you know there's going to be weeks where he'll play 80 minutes. So if he averages 65 minutes plus, even without attacking stats, he might have a PPM of one this year just in case. So,
I was going to say, there's going to be weeks where he gets try assists. There's going to be weeks where he barges over for the odd try. Like, he's just... yeah, a really good option. Probably 100K underpriced, I reckon, this year.
You reckon he gets the try assist if he threw that cutout ball?
Nah, no chance. And the last one is Big Bad Brian, the man who scored the try off Cleary. Oh, sorry, not off Cleary. A person passing the ball, he did all the work. He played out there on the right, Tube, which is interesting. He finished last year on the left. There was no Casey McLean in the team, which could cause a complete reshuffle in the back line. Either way, with no Cleary there for the Panthers potentially for the first 2 to 3 weeks, I think that puts me off Big Bag Brian, even though he's so well priced.
Yeah, so Cleary's fighting the charge, but he's fighting for a downgrade. So if he wins,
it should be 1 week.
I think it would drop to 1 week. So it will be interesting because I think it would put me off starting Big Bad Brian, even though he looked amazing and looked fully fit, if Cleary's out for 3 weeks. But if he's out for 1 week, then I wouldn't factor it in as part of the decision-making. But I did think he looked good and certainly much fitter than he was at any time last season. He had a bit of a season, injury season, you know, I was going to say from hell, but it wasn't that bad, but he was just carrying it all year. Remember, he missed Vegas and then just sort of struggled the whole way through, still played Origin. Whereas he looks like he's coming into this year fully fit.
Chiefs just double-checked, fact-checked us. He actually is right to go for Brisbane round one, Cleary, if he wins that, if he gets that downgraded. And, you know, PVL is going to be watching going, oh, my man Nathan out for round one against Brisbane, the grand final rematch. Or, sorry, preliminary final rematch. So, yeah, you can almost chalk that up as a Cleary's getting off. It's almost like Panthers are playing the man.
I think you got a wink and a nudge. Just challenge this one, mate. We're not getting the chin out with some chin music for this one.
All right. The next game, Chiefs, is your boys, the Sharkies, up against the Raiders. The Raiders pretty much named a reserve grade side. They had a few first graders in there, but it's interesting that Ricky really showing he's just not interested all in the trials. One thing that surprised me, though, is Sanders not getting any run time in either of the trials as a guy who's only played, I think, 3 or 4 first grade games. I thought for sure he'd get a bit of time. He was sat out with a lot of these guys. No injury concerns. Just they're just not playing until round one. Do you think that's almost a vote of confidence from Ricky Tubes on Sanders?
Are we talking about Ricky Stewart and you're trying to get in his mind about his selections and minutes of playing people?
I attempted.
I don't know. I'm putting it down to they got belted by the Sharks at the back end of last year, so maybe he's coming in with a new theory that they were burnt out. So he's given them the first few games off. I think Sanders is it's his spot. They're not giving it to someone else.
No, Black's not at all.
Still out. So whether it's a vote of confidence, it's Ricky. I feel like Ricky goes through these patches of he has these little theories. I don't know exactly how they work or where they come from, but he certainly gets behind them, and that seems to be what he's doing this year.
I don't stand for Ricky slander on this pod, Tubes. I think it's a genius decision. But no, I was frustrated because I wanted to see Sanders go around. It's going to be funny coming in with him potentially as my halfback too. And with a few of the options this week that have got me excited, I'm almost thinking about not running a cheap halfback too now. But I wonder if I had seen Sanders play and he looked good, I'd probably get him. So it's actually, I would have just loved to see him run around. But let's get on to the Sharkies, Tubes. And do you want to start with the big news around Katoa and how that could impact that Sharkies team?
Yeah, so I haven't seen it officially. So Sione Katoa is injured.
We don't know the extent though yet.
Yeah, I haven't heard the exact extent.
You talk through your theory, and I'll look up.
I think he's out for a few weeks. And this came from a couple of weeks ago. In the Discord or certainly around circles, it was that he was gone. And then it turned out he was fine. He's played on the weekend. It looks like he is now injured. I'll probably be listening to the Magic Sponge podcast, which I imagine is recording right now while we're talking, and get some better extent on that. But I just think who did look good for them then was Gabriel came on, scored two tries. He's 200K. He's currently 1.1% ownership. He could be another cheapy option that's coming out of the woodwork. Obviously, there's Hirodi, who did a job last year.
More than a job. He was really good, Hirodi. Really good.
He's now signed with the Titans. I thought he was more of a center slash left edge replacement. I mean, we'll see. Whereas it looks like Gabriel's just an out and out winger, out and out speedster. So we'll see.
Yeah, he looks lightning quick, Gabriel. Like he was like there's a couple of times they put in a kick and he was just like on the fullback as he caught it, just with lightning speed. So he will be one to watch at 201K. What about the other winger, Tubes, Sammy Stonestreet? We haven't spoken about him much on the Baller podcast this year. I'm not a fan of him at 496K as a super coach option. He's not coming in with a discount. Like that's priced on his performance. What do you make of Stonestreet? You've probably seen more of him than me.
I don't want to get into shark slander on this pod. But I'm not 100% convinced of him yet as like an out and out, like he's Mulatalo's replacement, but I don't necessarily believe yet that he's got that spot fully locked down. Obviously he'll have it for round one. But I really don't know if he's only a few bad games away, from potentially losing the spot as well. So I don't think I'm willing to pay 500K for him. I hope he comes out and absolutely kills it as a Sharks fan. But, like, it's not like I've felt like he's just been waiting in the wings and he's this absolute, you know, Macassini type player that's coming in. We'll just have to wait and see. But I certainly couldn't push anyone to pay 500K for him to start the year.
Yeah, he kind of seems like a poor man's Ronnie in terms of how he's going to adapt to Supercoach. Yeah, Ronnie goes on runs where he can score a flurry of tries and he becomes really relevant. Stonestreet's like that, but I predict he will be like that, but not as good a player as Ronnie and with not a huge base power game. So, yeah, I'm out on him. Tubes, KL Itero, I know, is one that you've been really keen on over the offseason. He's coming in and out of your team. What did you make of his first run around?
I thought it was good. We did the numbers before the pod from the old stats to the new, and he did actually get upgraded with the try assist.
Big upgrade.
So he went from 35 to 52. So I guess that's probably the try assist, line break assist or something around that, whereas he probably had a contribution before. So that's a big upgrade. I think he did a job, 52 points. He looked good.
Yeah.
I did think the only thing that worried me, not worried me, but I actually thought for whatever reason in a trial game, the Sharks seem to be sweeping to the right quite a bit more. I actually saw Trindle coming to the right a fair bit. And I don't think he was planted on that left edge last year. I don't think he was going both ways. It actually seemed like Hines was running more. Trindle was sweeping both sides out the back. And the Sharks did do very well down that right-hand edge. Even before Katoa went off, I think he scored a try. Or anyway, they were looking very threatening. Ramian was looking good for the Sharks on the right edge. Now, whether that means anything that's bad for Iro, because he still looked good, but at a 700K price tag, it certainly didn't seem like they were going to just be complete left edge dominant like they were last year when he scored a try every single game.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. What about Nico and Trindle Tubes? You mentioned that there's a little bit of inside chat from a baller that this year that Trindle's going to be the organiser and they're going to really try and embrace Nico's running game. First of all, did you see that in either the All-Stars game or in the trial on the weekend? And do you believe it, even if you did see it, do you believe it's going to be a long-term play?
I didn't see it in the first trial. I probably saw Nico. I felt like Nico did, in the All-Star game. I probably did feel like Nico ran it a bit more on the weekend from watching that game. Something has to change. I think we've talked, for anyone that's listened to the Snap before, I think we've talked about it enough. Like the Sharks are a good team. Something has to change for them to be a great team. And so I hope that they unlock this Trindle ball playing and Nico running game a bit more. But yeah, I'll wait and see it to believe it. But I do think they definitely were taking some steps to give it a red hot crack on the weekend.
Yeah, I hope it works because I love Nico. I reckon he's such a good player. I hate how he gets smashed in the media all the time. But he's gone from being a guy who for a few years in a row was kind of an 85-plus averager for 2 years in a row now being around about a 75 man. And that's come in line with Trindle because there's going to be weeks where it's Nico Ball and he takes over and there's weeks where Trindle's the main man. It's hard to predict. So I think I just want to see how it works. I hope it does. I hope I'm bringing Nico in round three and he's had two huge scores running the ball because I really like him and I'd love to own him. AFB Tubes, we spoke about a little bit on our premiums pod as an option. You and Dan both quite liked him, I believe, when we spoke about it. 639K. Dan highlighted his injuries that he was going through with the back last year. Well, I thought he looked great. Didn't play huge minutes, but great footwork around the ruck, quick play the balls. He just looked like AFB at his best.
Did you get his play the ball speeds in the
start? I didn't record week? Them. Oh, okay. Didn't get them out.
No, he did. He looked, which you'd want after a full preseason. He did look great. Like he looked fully fit. He looked ready to go. I think everyone's thing for him is just it's a minute watch with that Sharks pack, and what that's going to look like. It'd be a flyer to start with him at the price 639K, but I think he's going to end up being a top three front row forward for this year. I think he'll be the next level behind the Haas and May if May, you know, keeps getting good minutes. But I think AFB is going to outdo his competition, so I'm hoping to own him at some point.
If that's how confident you are, why don't you just start with him? Like if he's going to be a top three. Yeah, okay. Because when you say top three,
I'm not 100% not starting with him. It's minute watch, like as in – he can do it in 50 to 55. It's just whether or not how much minutes they give him at the start of the season. If he's looking fully fit, if he can get 60 minutes ongoing, he's basically, for me, he'll be a must-have if he's fully fit.
Yeah, fair call. I thought Britt Nicker looked good, had a try assist, looked sharp, just like he did in the All-Stars game. But the most owned Sharks player at 39%, Jude, the Sharks lock. What's his name again? Can you pronounce it for me?
Colquhoun.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Great work.
Been working on that. I called my friend Macaulay Culkin and he explained to me it's Colquhoun.
Oh, he got it wrong.
Colquhoun.
Look, Tubes, he looked fine. Like not a big runner of the ball. Did a bit of link man work. Loves to tackle. Loves a third man in tackle as well, Jesse Colquhoun. So I feel good. I noticed in the Discord this week a little bit of negativity around Colquhoun, people worried about minutes and that price. And that if he's only getting 45 minutes a game, is he really going to get that far above that price? I think of those kind of cheaper 330K-ish front rolls, Paseka, Flegler and Colquhoun, I still think I have him as my favourite one of the three.
Yes. I think more trusted. I don't think the upside's going to be massive, but I think if you know that McInnes, if we know McInnes is out for that extended period of time, round eight, then you know you're going to get somewhere between 45 to probably 55 from him for the first 7 weeks, and maybe a Jags a try or something like that. And that's pretty dependable, and it's probably going to make a bit of money for you.
And just before we finish up on the Sharks, I will say you said you didn't want to get into Shark slander. I reckon already in the Baller preseason, you've named about six different guys you wish was the Sharks fullback. So you're not against Will Kennedy slander, just don't want to slander the club in general. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still hopeful that they've got some fullback plan. They've re-signed Kennedy for one more year. I was a bit disappointed to not see much of Eisen on the weekend, but yes, it could be another one of those years.
All right, Tubes, it's time to get back into, for the first time this year, one of our favourite weekly segments, easily the most controversial weekly segment we have here on the Sunday Snap. It is Ready to Explode. Now, Tubes, do you want to try and attempt for the new snappers who've jumped on board this year, which are in there plentiful, thank you for coming on board, do you want to try and explain Ready to Explode to those people?
It's honestly the easiest explanation in the world. So it's just that there's two types of categories. Like the first category is young gun on the scene, either just debuted or is up and coming, just had a slight shift of role change, like Alika Halasima was at some point last year. And they're ready to explode. So you can just see they've got all the right attributes to them. I'm sure we're going to talk about him, but Macassini, like, he is the prime young gun ready to explode.
Definition of RTE.
Yeah, definition of RTE. And I've been watching him for a long time, like, you know, since the Australian schoolboy days where he was dominating New Zealand. But the second category or part of RTE is almost like the fallen gun you're just seeing something about, you're seeing something from them that you feel like they're ready to recapture their old flame, their old form. It could be because they've got a really good run coming up and you're seeing some good things. It could just be because you think that there's a change, like they've now become the absolute dominant player or halfback or fullback and they're getting more touches. Like I think I called Reece Walsh an RTE about, you know, round 20 last year. And he was the definition of that type of player. He'd had a quiet season earlier. So I think there's two.
Can I have a third?
Just got to pick up. Yeah.
Can I throw a third one in the mix?
Yeah.
The guy who's kind of flirted with premium status, but there's something about their game that has changed that you think is going to elevate them into being like that super premium guy as well. I think that's the third category that comes in.
Not for me, but sure, you can have that that's it. You are 100% right. It's basically someone that you think is about to
explode. It's in the name. It's vibe. All right. Now, Jibs, one thing we've been doing differently this year for Ready to Explode. Last year, you and me would just pick out a player. This year, we want to give something back to the snappers. So for this year, in the Ballers Only Discord, there is a Sunday Snap channel that you can go in there, and as the weekend's progressing, the snappers can type in what they think their Ready to Explode player is. And we're going to analyse them and say if we think we agree. We're going to be doing the same thing for the Rage trades as of next week too. So, yeah, please do jump into that Ballers Only Discord, get into the Sunday Snap section and let us know your Ready to Explode players and your Rage trades. Our first one, Tubes, is one that I think you would have had down as a Ready to Explode player too. This comes in from Gramsy. It's Sammy Walker, the Roosters halfback, who had a nice solo try, set up another for Angus Crichton with a beautiful little short ball. Playing both sides of the ruck, DCE interviewed before the game, just could not stop talking up Sam Walker as a player and as a man. Do you think he fits in that third definition that I put forward of a guy who's flirted with premium status, who this year is ready to explode and become a proper premium?
I think, I was going to say 100%. I'm not 100%, but the signs are all pointing towards yes. Like, I think everyone's been waiting for him to take that leap year. And whether it's because of injuries, I think he had an ACL about 18 months ago or 24 months ago. He just hasn't quite done it. I think there was some question marks over, well, what's it going to mean with DCE in the side? Who's going to be the dominant half? What's that going to look like? From Saturday night, it felt like Cherry Evans could just be that old head, calming influence, playing his role, but also knowing this is Sam Walker's team. When he wants the ball, he's going to get it. And he can just be a bit more free, a bit more sort of eyes up footy, which I think is everyone knows that's where he like absolutely explodes. So Cherry Evans could unlock him. I don't know what it'll mean for Teddy from a super coach perspective, but I think it'll be very good for the Roosters attack. I also think it's going to be very good for Angus Gus Bus Crichton as well on that left edge between Sammy and him. He just looked great. He scored a great try stepping off his right foot, going to the right. He obviously set Angus up for a great ball going off the left. I just think that like he could easily jump Nico and get towards that Cleary status this year. From a super coach perspective, it's just whether or not you can pay up to start the year with him.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there, Tubes. I do think that with the DCE thing and him being the old head who lets Walker run the team, let's see how that looks when it's a tough game and it's a grind and DCE doesn't just think, I think I can take this. I think the kid needs me to take over this one. So we'll see how it goes into those kind of games. But the first signs were fantastic. There's also the fact that, I mean, I think you and I both agree the Roosters are going to be an improved team this year, which means more tries, more goal kicks as well for Sammy Walker. And his goal kicking has improved immensely. So I think we both agree there's a chance that Sammy Walker is RTE. All
right, their the next pack one. Too. Like, I know you said they're going to be improved, but their pack, playing off that pack is, yeah. If everyone stays fully fit, could be good times.
Our next one is Jacob Laban out there at the Warriors. Now, for people who haven't seen, Leka Halasima is set to start on an edge this year. I believe they really value, Andrew Webster values the fact that he can cover a lot of positions coming off that bench. So it looks like Jacob Laban's won the job as a starting second rower. He's 300K. He has had wraps on him for a couple of years. I should say this came in from Dazza 06. Sorry, Dazza, for not giving you a shout out. He's had wraps on him for a long time. There was chatter that he was going to be the starting edge last year. Didn't quite work out. I thought he looked awesome in the All-Stars game. Scored a good try. Was just a big, strong ball runner. I thought this trial he looked pretty solid, maybe a little bit gassed at times and his defence dropped down a bit. But I don't know, if he starts in round one tubes, could Laban be RTE?
It could be. I don't love it. He feels trappy. I know he's only 300K starting back rower, and he's a much better play than a Jack Gajewski or anything like that that we've talked about historically. But I don't love the sentiment that Leka Halasima is now a Mr. Fix-It man coming off the bench. And they've got Capewell there that's obviously still going to get good minutes. I know they've got Vaimunga, Nikora. They play middle, but then they've got Ford, Barnett back.
Nikora.
And Fisher-Harris.
Barnett.
They're just a stacked pack. So I don't think that just because he's starting that you can bank that he's getting 50, 60 minutes as an edge back rower. And look, I mean, if we lose a Lasardi or something like that as a cheapy option, then yeah, he's there and he's obvious, but I'm not sure about it. Feels a bit trappy to me, and that could just be because of how much I love Leka Halasima.
Yeah, it's tough with the depth there. I think at 300K, I would like to pass him up and watch if I could, but like you said, we'll just have to see how the cheapies in that 2RF position pans out. The next one is Sua Fa'alongo, who's currently in 32% of teams, and Husey from the Discord has Sua as a RTE candidate. Tubes, he looked pretty good in that first game against the Storm. He's very quick. He's a little tackle buster. He's still working on that ball play. A lot of people are going to own Keanu Kinney. In fact, I think nearly all Supercoach serious players probably should. Do you think that with Sua you could lock in the double pocket rocket strategy?
I can't get a gauge on Sua. I didn't think the Storm looked very good.
Clunky.
Maybe, like... I know that's you can't take a huge amount from trials. I think he did what we expected him to do. And I think what will he remembering whilst he's taken over from Pappy, he won't have the goal kicking. He's not going to necessarily have those sweeping plays out the back where he's sort of throwing the long ball to the fullback to get those try assists, line break assists. I'm a bit wary of him to start the year. I think he could absolutely explode. I think the difference between him and Kinney is, whilst you call them both pocket rockets, Kinney is a stocky pocket rocket. Like, as in I just think he's a lot stronger and a lot more prone to a tackle bust than Sua is, who's still quite slight for an NRL player at the moment. I'm leaning towards not starting him from my perspective because of that.
I'm leaning towards starting him after the weekend. I think he's just going to be that power game. I do think he's going to be a consistent tackle bust. There's just something about him that seems hard to put down. So I could see him having those runs where he busts three tackles in one hit. But he's not locked in. It's going to have to see how Penn, if I can buy up on a more expensive fullback, if that team balance works out, I will. But I like that he's there and I do like his price. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was ready to explode this year. Tunes, this next one comes in from B. Husey. And he's a man that I spoke about a lot in our most intriguing players pod, Stefano Utakamanu, who I thought in his first stint on the weekend looked absolutely unbelievable. In that stint alone, he had 5 tackle busts, an offload. He ran for 70-odd metres. He had 16 tackles, and that was only 20 minutes of play. I moved him into my Supercoach team, so I definitely agree with B. Husey that Stefano was ready to explode. I think he could be someone you buy at 516K and you comfortably sit as your third front row forward in your team at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I know you're high on him. I thought he looked good. And he obviously played well, but I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. Yeah. So I'm just going to sit off him.
Just for anyone who hasn't listened to that most intriguing pod, I'm just going to quickly recap these stats of his from last year. First 14 games, averaged 40 minutes for 45 points a game. The 11 games after Origin went up to 50 minutes a game for 65.9 points per game. So we'll see how it pans out, but I think he's a good option. I agree, it's a bit of a luxury play to have when you can get, you know, Trey Mooney and Payne Haas and a lot of teams. Do you want to spend up big on another front row forward? Maybe in the flex if people are thinking of utilising that. But I can understand why he's not higher owned, but I do think I'll start with him. Chief, the next one, comes in from, I'm going to call him Farks, F-A-R-Q-S, and his ready to explode player is Sean Russell. What do you make of Sean Russell, Chiefs? Russell, the love muscle, I believe he called it.
Like, I mean, he looked big and strong. He looked pretty good. I thought the para looked good. He looked pretty good on that edge. How do you start with someone that you don't even know if they fully locked down the role? I know he looked good. They've got Brian Kelly sitting on the extended bench. I feel like I've talked enough about Jason Riles before, but I don't think he's fully set on what his best 17 is, and I don't know 100% if Russell's going to be there come week 4 or week 5. And for the price, I couldn't start with Russell the Love Muscle.
Yeah, I'm out on Russell the Love Muscle. I hope that Farks is right and that we're looking to get him in round 3, but I'm definitely not going to start with him.
I hope he's wrong. What do you mean?
Why? He's a baller.
We're not starting with him.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's nice to see the ballers go well, Tubes.
No, I want to go well.
Our next one is one that you and I are both bursting to talk about. This came in from Griffo, but it could have come in from the whole NRL Supercoach community. It is Big Macassini, the boom center or winger over there at the Tigers. Tubes, just have at it.
I don't like. I mean, what more can you say? Matt referenced him as Jonah Lomu. Like that try on the left. Like we talked. Oh, well, we did not talk about him on the snap last week because I was not on, but I do believe we might have spoken about him on the phone. Like, he was showing signs of this last weekend, like how good he looked. Obviously, he didn't run over the top of 3 players in one run.
It was one.
Like, he did this, but it was one. And he just looks like an absolute out-and-out quality footballer, athletic machine. Yeah, there'll probably be some bumps along the way, like there probably always is with younger guys, but the fact that he can do that against, and you know, a quality football team like the Panthers and a quality defensive fullback like Dylan Edwards, it's just crazy. And I just think that, like, you must start with him. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter that they're on the bye. It doesn't matter that if you think that he has any job security. Basically, if he starts, you want him. And I've even come around to basically, well, he's now a lock in your 17 once when he is playing.
It looks very
viable. So now you can look at what options, like if you're having him as a cheapy playable option.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. There's no way I'm not starting with him. And yeah, absolutely. Tubes, you said you watched him in the schoolboys against New Zealand. I would say that there's not a chance you have watched a schoolboys game since you last stepped on the field as a schoolboy playing rugby league at St. Pat's.
Well, that's, Jono, you do your research on tackle, play the ball speeds. I do my research by just watching these young up-and-comers RTEs.
The other one, Tubes, I didn't talk about him earlier in the Tigers game, but I wanted to mention him here with Macassini, is what about the stack on the left edge? I'm going to call it May Cassini with May as his centre inside. Is there any interest in going him? I think he's around that 600K mark. Could you just back in the stack with these guys, or is it too much when they're on the bye in round one to have two kind of players, especially with a potential third coming up in your squad?
Too much, I think, especially in the same position of centre wing. I think you can carry two Tigers. That's a good point. But carrying two in the same position feels like a bit much with bye round one.
All right, the next one is Adam Dewey, another Tiger. This one comes in from Richard Gearballs. And Tuesday, we had a big chat about Adam Dewey on the Tuesday show in our mid-range pod. We both really liked him, as did Cracker. I think, if anything, all three of us by the end of that pod were kind of moving him into our teams. Now that we've actually seen him play as the halfback in the trial game, did your opinion change?
I was so happy with his performance. I think I messaged you that day that I was re-looking at Mitchie Boy Moses and just thinking I have to bring him in. And it was just good to see Dewey perform that way. I think he's a lock as my halfback, and he's probably going to be a lock as my halfback too. So rather than have him and, say, Sanders, I'll probably lay Sanders and Atkinson at this point and look at starting. Dewey is my halfback too, and then one of the guns in either a Sammy Walker, which we've talked about, or someone else we'll probably talk about soon in Jaden Campbell.
All right, the second last ready to explode player comes in from Bomber_23, and I'm assuming that Bomber23 is a long time snapper, Tubes, because his ready to explode player is Ben Talty, who you infamously last year, I think the back end of the year when things are quietening down, had as a ready to explode player yourself. You called him a young gun coming through the Broncos system. It turned out he was a 27-year-old from Wollongong who was a late bloomer to first grade. So well done, Bomber23, for the stitch up on Tubes there. I don't think we're actually putting him forward as a ready-to-explode player. Tubes, our last ready-to-explode player is from you. Tell us who it is.
Oh, yeah, my RTA. I think there was someone else in the Discord that put him up as well.
Yeah, but they'd already had one. I think it was maybe Husey. He'd already got
okay.
one.
Okay, so I'm putting up Cody Walker. You've probably got a bit more to say about him because you know more about him. But I just watched the first 15 minutes of that game and I just thought, hold on, look at David Fifita. He looks unbelievable. Look at Latrell Mitchell. He looks good too. And Cody Walker's playing inside him, inside these two players, like, and he's 300K. All he has to do in this new world is potentially just feed them the ball and he's getting stats. Like, so he also did look good, don't get me wrong, but this is more a backing in South's being a good football team. South's going on runs. They looked fit again. They looked good in the Charity Shield. I know that wasn't their, first graders, but I think it's just a mentality of potentially how their preseason's been. And then I loved how Dave Fifita looked, and so I'm thinking about now, well, Cody Walker's stack could be on the cards.
Tubes, I agree with everything. He had not been in my team once the whole offseason. I was a bit worried about how he was going to look, how his fitness was, but he kind of blew that away with this game. And you mentioned the guys outside him. One thing you didn't say is that there's going to be defenses who are going to be so worried about Trell and Fifita that they're going to leave Cody alone. And we saw that straight away. Cody, the defense shifted out to cover those guys. Cody stepped off the left foot, went inside and scored a try. And it's easy to forget, Cody Walker is a try scorer. 2019, 16 tries. 2020, 10 tries. 2021, 16 tries. 2022, 14 tries. I don't think you'd ever be able to find a four-year stretch where a 5'8 scored that many tries outside of Cody. He's a try scorer, and with those guys outside him, yes, there'll be assists that come with it, but there'll also be him just dumbing and going himself because there's defences worried about other people. I really like that he was playing both sides. Ashton Ward, the halfback, mainly stayed on the right. Cody was pushing to the left and then through to the right. Cody himself said at halftime it was his first proper preseason he's had where he's been fit and able to train properly in 3 years. The only question for me, Tubes, and we'll get to Jonah Pezet when we review the Roosters versus Eels, is do you feel confident enough about Cody to start him as your 5'8 number one, or would you be bringing him in as your 5'8 number two? Because I'm bringing him in one way or another now after that game.
TBA, I haven't looked. We've obviously recording this on a Sunday night. I've only had a couple of hours really to digest. It's a big change to my team. I really like Jackson Purdue and as a 5'8 option. So I've really got to make a decision as to what that's going to look like. But I do think that Cody Walker is a much more viable option than I had him at 355 this afternoon.
All right, that brings our first Ready to Explode to a close. All right, Tubes, let's get into our three final games. The next one's the Roosters versus the Eels. The Gus Bus, look, I think we've spoken about him enough in the Baller podcast so far. We all think he's a great option. Look fantastic running off Sammy Walker. Good price. I just wanted, Tubes, talk about one who I think might be a little bit of a trap, and it's Blake Steep from the Roosters who started at lock. And I've seen a few people bandying his name around. With Reece Robson's injury, Connor Watson likely moves into spending a lot of time at hooker, and Steep could get that starting lock job. Really good in the All-Stars. He's only 20 years old, captained the SG ball team, viewed as a potential leader at the club, played good minutes, has a big motor. The only problem is I just think that Reece Robson comes back potentially as early as round three, it's now being speculated, and then Connor Watson starts stealing minutes off him, and at 400K, it's not worth that risk in my opinion, Tubes.
No, and then after that, Radley will be back at some point in time as well. It just feels like you'd be having a short-term play if you're bringing him into your team. And yeah. I don't think that's something I want to do.
No, not at that price. Connor Watson, I mentioned, Tubes. He played hooker only on the weekend, absolutely no time through the middle. He spent 40 minutes basically at hooker, job sharing with Benny Aiello. I just think that for me, rules him out with Robson starting out. Obviously, he could come back early and we could see what happens with Watson. But it just shows to me they still do view him as a guy who deserves hooker minutes. And for me, at 574K, that makes him a no-go.
It does. I'm thinking whether or not for this draft I've got coming up, he feels a bit trappy potentially for the year. Like they obviously like this the other hooker. Like, I don't know what it's going to mean for him for the whole season. So, yeah, but he's definitely not to start.
Going to the Eels, Tubes, first of all, you went after the Eels on the mid-range pod, and some people weren't happy about it. After their big win over the Roosters in this troll, are you ready to retract and issue an apology, or where are you standing on it now?
I think they looked okay. They kicked away a bit once the Roosters took all their starters off. But I'm not convinced still about the way that their backline's going to be looking. I did think Mitch Moses had a pretty decent game, and I probably come around more on Mitch Moses as a super coach option since that mid-range pod. But as I said, I still don't necessarily want to own him. But I'm certainly not all in on the Eels being a top eight football set team for this year either.
Yeah, I still do think Mitchie Boy is a good option, so I'm glad you've kind of softened a little bit on that with that goal in this year. But Jonah Pezet, Tubes, is one watching on the weekend. Watch both his trial games. The first one, I thought he was fantastic when he was wearing the seven and playing halfback and controlling. In this game, he wasn't quite as good, and it's not his fault. I think he's a really good NRL player. I'm just not convinced of him as a 5'8 and super coach. He doesn't seem like a natural runner of the ball. He seems like he wants to be the ball in his hands, halfback, dishing either side. And with Mitchie Boy in the team, he's not going to be that. And now with Cody Walker going so well, I'm starting to think, do I need Pezet at 236K? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that he's an obvious option that will go well, which is why he's so highly owned. But I don't think you'll regret massively not starting with him. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's certainly something that I've been toying with, going from the too cheap 5-8 strategy to now potentially two mid ranges. Obviously, it's not a huge leap up to Cody. I certainly feel as though Cody could easily come out and average 65 plus to start the year, and you couldn't say the same for Pezzet.
It's pretty funny, Tubes, this Cody thing. It just popped into my head on the mid-range pod, which Cody just snuck into. You said, I can guarantee you I will not own Cody Walker once this year, even if he's killing it in 700K. Isn't it? It's just so funny how much just like a trial game can completely change your perception.
It honestly, but it's like I just watched and I was like, oh, yeah. This makes way more sense than anything that I could have said before. And he will. He'll get injured and we'll trade him. But for 300K, how do you not take – I don't know. I still need to digest it.
The last one is Jermaine Hopgood, Tubes. I know you really like at 518K. Love what he did at the back end of last year. He had big minutes for his trial over two stints. I could easily see him being a 60-minute man with how that trial game went. If he's playing decent minutes in a trial, 60 minutes seems pretty achievable.
Yep. I think the price is right for Hopgood. I think I'm 80% of the way sold now on him. Like, that's sort of what you just wanted to see. It was a good hit out. And as you said, if that's what he's playing in the trial, surely he's playing 60 minutes. And you know he can do it. He's done it before.
I still prefer Stefano at a very similar price, only because I just feel like his role of getting 50 to 55 minutes for Stefano, he's a bigger PPM man than Hopgood. I just think his role is guaranteed, whereas Hopgood, I agree. I think it's likely to be 60 minutes, but I don't feel 100% guaranteed of it. All right, on to our second last game of the round, the Storm versus the Titans. And Moses Leo is one who I want to start with, Tubes. Xavier Coates gone for 3 months. Moses Leo wearing the number 5 jumper but playing left centre. Actually, funny, Discord member Big Hitters had put into the Discord that he went and watched some training during the week and that Leo was playing centre. This is before it was even announced that way in the game. Leo was playing centre on the left with Meany on the wing outside him. That's obviously good for those last pass assists, which he did get one of in this game. I thought he had a bit of a mixed game, a couple of defensive errors, a couple of unforced errors as well. It's hard, though, at 236K to knock him back if he's got pretty good job security. The Lomax situation's a watch as well.
Did Seve play as well? Like
over that, on the right.
He's the other. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's – I think it'll just – Leo will come down to round one teams for me. Like, as in, he's basically – I'll be keeping a spot open for him, I suppose. And if he's named, he'll be straight in.
Cam Munster, 20% owned, which surprised me because, I mean, I guess from Baller, we haven't been speaking about him too much. The thing for me with Munster is last year he had a career high in try assists off kicks, and now Katoa's gone. Now Coates is gone. He doesn't have those guys to kick to anymore. Jerome Hughes back into the team as well for round one. So I think that maybe Jerome Hughes was in and out a lot last year, so Munster took a bit more control. He's never going to be a bad option, Cam Munster, but I do think there's a chance he's a touched overpriced at 682K.
Yeah, he is. But he looked good. The only thing, I saw he bought a pub in Caxton Street, and I just haven't thought about bringing him to my side since. Like, he's a big vibes guy.
I thought that was Munster. Harry. Was it both? Did they get in on it together?
Well, I saw definitely that Munster. Munster was involved.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And Lusardi, who's been one of the most popular cheapies this preseason, started on the left edge with Chan on the right. And the only reason that's a cause for concern is that Sean Bloor still to return to this Storm pack. He usually plays on the left edge. Now, there's also a chance that they could shift Sean Bloor to the right to become the new kind of go-to man with Katoa out of the team. But it wouldn't surprise me if come round one, we don't see Lusardi as either starting edge back rower. He might be playing lock, which is also concerning because Trent Liero is looming from suspension. What do you make of this whole situation, Tubes? Is it just a watch for you?
Just a watch, see where they get named. I think Lasardi's look good.
He did.
And so I'd be shocked if he doesn't start. I feel like Chan's a good feeling man, but I can't see that he's their starting edge for the whole season. So, like, if that's their plan, yeah, just can't see it.
Joe Chan, the fill-in man. All right, on to the Titans. Keanu Kinney, We straight him to death. Gun, must have, get him in. Fat Imani, I want to talk about, Chips, because it's funny, the Discord were kind of giving it to Fat Imani this week. I actually thought, whilst he didn't have the best game, had an unforced error, which would have, I'm sure, frustrated Josh Anne. I actually thought he looked a lot more comfortable this week. Didn't look as off the pace in first grade. Still not getting through as much work as he would like, especially for a guy who seems like he's built to be a power winger. But he did score a nice try for Tino Pass. I think if he's named in round one at 201K, I think I've softened towards getting Faimani now after that performance.
Yeah, I thought the Titans looked good as well. So if you're getting a cheapy winger in a team that's potentially scoring some decent amount of points, then feels like a pretty safe option.
Jaden Campbell, Tubes, bit of a quiet game for him. Does that concern you at all or just a trial? I did note that Brimo had more touches than JC in that first half.
I thought Brimson looked very good. And that does concern me a little bit for JC. I thought Brimson looked good last year, but it was his first year, full season back, particularly, dominating, playing in that 5'8 role. I'm not starting with Brimson, given his price, but I did make me think if he plays a more dominant role on that left edge, and that means less touches for JC, particularly with Kinney in, did just make me a little bit hesitant at the JC 700K price.
Yeah, I took him out of my team. It might be an overreaction, but it's also coupled with the fact that Dewey looks so good and Sam Walker looks so good that JC found his way out of my team. Paxton, who's this cheapy second role for the Titans, I thought he looked pretty solid early, had a nice little forced dropout, came off for a HIA and he failed it, so we didn't get to see any more of him that game. We'll be back for round one. Chiefs, Cooper Bye was the one I took out of my team because Randall starting lock, which we were hoping that Cooper Bye would get, he was moved to the bench. It was a four-forward middle rotation bench. The other forwards were Cleese Haas, Curtis Moran, and Tukey Simpkins, the great Tukey Simpkins. All of them came on before him in the game, were injected in the first half. We had to wait till there was only 20 minutes to go till Cooper Bye came onto the game, and he had a line break with his first touch. But if he's the fourth forward off the bench, even at 236K, I don't know if I can start with him.
No. And I mean... not with how many other good options it appears there's going to be. He's definitely a good upside person, though, I think, that you could start with, maybe not be expecting to play for the first 4 or 5 weeks, but hoping that he kicks on a fair bit more, like Alika Halasima did during the year last year, once he does get that starting role. But I don't think it's going to be there for the first, 4 to 5 weeks, that's for sure.
And Tubes, down to our last game of the round, the Rabbitohs vs. the Seagulls, which took place today. We've already spoken about Cody Walker, but what about Latrell Mitchell? He scored a try in the second half, but for me, that first half was basically a worst-case scenario of Trill at left centre. He wasn't sweeping like I was hoping he was going to be. He did stay out at left centre, and the ball just didn't find its way to him very much at all.
Yeah, trial game, though. Trill's a big game player.
He's
there for the big moments.
But it still made me think, he's going to have down weeks, isn't he? I think today he ended up getting a 54 under the old system with that try in the second half. The goal kicking, which he was kicking very, very nicely, completely saved him, I thought, from a Supercoach perspective today. But he's going to have that in his arsenal. That's
what helps him with the floor. Yeah, exactly. And the thing for me was the bunnies look good.
Yeah.
So if the bunnies go well, Troll will go well. Because he's not just a big game player. He's a flat track bully.
Chiefs, Campbell Graham, I thought, looked awesome out on the right edge. Him and Jackie Whiten had a really nice little combination, scored the first try. The fact that Cody Walker was stacking out towards the right was promising for the right edge. I don't know if it's just a bit of a showcase of everyone's talking about our left, don't forget about our right as well, so that teams don't just focus too much on one side, but really impressive price at 431K. You said you're not that interested in these centre wings around that price range. Does that still extend to Campbell Graham?
Somebody asked this in the Discord as well. How many bunnies is too many bunnies?
That was Fenner.
And I think that's just that's where Campbell Graham could miss out for me. I did think he looked good. Jack Whiten reminded us all he's a very good football player as well. And that will be a dangerous side as well as the left. I just think it's the number of bunnies. If Cody comes in, it's hard to bring in Graham as well.
The next two I'm going to race through, Tubes, because I think they're kind of near must-haves. Brandon, the Cheese, Smith. He spent his first 20 minutes at hooker before coming off for a rest, but very encouraging that when he came back on, Mamazella stayed on the field and he got some time through the middle. And David Fifita, who just did exactly what we were kind of hoping Fifita would. He looked good, looked fit. He had a line break with his second touch of the game, not even put through a hole, just a one-on-one with Jamal Fogarty, steamrolled him. Must have. The last one from South is Cam Murray, Tubes, who looked to be moving well. Like, you know, obviously he returned last year, which means he had a full fit preseason. Did a lot of link man work and not so much running, but I was impressed with his defensive load.
To be honest, I didn't notice much of him, like, and maybe that's a good thing. But I think I can't really say much. I'm not starting Murray, same reason, too many Souths, and I want to see a bit more of him to pay that 500K price that range.
Moving on to the Seagulls, Ruben Garrick. I was hoping we'd solve the mystery of is he kicking this game. They didn't score a single point the whole time he was on the field. So we don't know if Ruben Garrick's kicking or Jamal Fogarty yet. I think that was enough combined with the Seagulls having a pretty poor performance, albeit with no Ola or Turbo. But I think I'm now putting a line through Ruben Garrick. Can't take a risk on him unless we are confirmed his goal kicking. Taniela Paseka, really well owned. I thought he looked fine in the middle, Tubes. Had a couple of stints there. Got through a decent amount of work. At 329K, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I think people are just tossing up him and Colquhoun, and what does that look like? But I think he looked fine. He looked basically what he is, I suppose. Can't read much more into it.
And the last one for the Seagulls, Jake Simpkin, the hooker there, who people have liked as a mid-range 423K hooker. He, again, another guy who just looked fine. He did come up with a bit of a shoulder work after attack, but I think it was one where he might have been knocked in the head and was trying to pretend it was his shoulder, not his head, that was sore when he laid down. But I just wanted to point out, Tubes, we mentioned Zach Docker-Clay as a hooking option for them in our mid-range pod. Joey Walsh actually named in the number 14, who's like this young gun halfback. The promising thing is that if Joey Walsh is going to be in that squad come round one, I can't see him taking heaps of minutes off Jake Simpkin, but I would also want to know that Simpkin's playing 80 if I was going to take him.
Yeah, I don't think you can start with Simpkin now. I think I didn't think Manly looked great. And the concern for them potentially is going to be their pack. Obviously, Paseka, we talked about starting. There's a minutes watch. I think Simpkin is one that you're happy to wait and watch. And I think that the play very much now in that hooker strategy is cheap cheese, gun, hooker, and pick who the gun is that you want.
Yep, agreed. Oh, I still think Reed Marnie is an option as well if people want to save at the hooker spot and go with him as your hooker number one. Definitely not hooker number two, though. All right, Tubes, that brings our round review out to a close. Big reminder that coming up on Tuesday is going to be our first Teamless Tuesday of the year. It's for round zero over in Vegas. We're going to be running our eyes over that. Plus, the one that we've been saving to get more and more information on, it's time to go through the cheapies. So it's going to be myself, Matt, and Dan going through those guys. Very, very excited to actually finally have some real football teams to talk about. Some real NRL regular season games. I am pumped. And as always, please just remember to get in there, follow us on the socials, find us by searching Baller NRL or Baller Supercoach. Get into the Discord and keep your eyes peeled on baller.live for the things that are coming this week. Tubes, bring us home.
Just before I do, John, I just want to say well done. Well done tonight. Good job. Thank you. I enjoyed this podcast. It's our first, our final preseason snap. So I'm looking forward to coming a bit more fired up in the weeks ahead. But you beauty.